I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
What? Yes?
I was celebrating last night.
Oh, but sometimes when you don't get sleep, you come in and you're even crazier. But not today.
No.
Yesterday, you were on a 10 yesterday.
Wednesdays, babe.
I don't...
Wacky Wednesday.
So weird.
Wacky Wednesday.
Is your brain controlled by the tides or something?
Because, I believe it is.
It is just insane. Yeah. I know immediately when you come in what type of day it's going to be. So I prefer this, Brian. The more down-to-earth.
I don't.
Man-to-man.
Why?
Because you're a bit on the out-of-control side on those Wednesdays.
I love that out-of-control.
No, it's terrible.
Wacky Wednesdays.
Oh, it's awful. It really is. You know, the screaming and the berating.
I like coke! Wow. Wacky out-of-control Wednesdays.
Hashtag?
Hashtag coke! Yeah, Coca-Cola. That's what I'm talking about, kids.
What's the better man staff going to think about you yelling, I love coke?
I'm going on this journey along with all these other men.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to get better just like them.
Woo! We're going to show you how to become a better man.
Mm-hmm.
Woo! Yeah! Can you dig it?
Yeah. Better body.
Better body. Better sex.
Better sex.
Better everything.
Better mind.
Better mind. All that. And a bag of chips.
Hey, out there, how's your anger toolbox?
Yeah, how's your anger toolbox?
Huh? What's in you? You've got every possible tool in your anger toolbox.
No way.
Oh, yes.
I'm emptying out my anger toolbox.
You've got way too much.
I took the drill out of there. Took the pliers out.
The bat.
Took the bat out. The cable spool.
Oh, you've got every drill bit humanly possible in your anger toolbox.
No, nothing but love and affection in my anger toolbox.
De-escalate a situation and not allow your anger to get the best of you.
That's right. I de-escalate. That's what I do. I cut them off at the pass. You know, that's all right. I'm not going to be angry with you. That's okay. And I hope you have a fine day. And
make sure you check that anger out there, okay?
Yeah! Check it! Hey! Check it!
Hey!
That sounded angry, didn't it?
I know it did.
You check your anger!
Check your anger!
Make sure you check that anger out there, okay? Okay!
I have no control over that.
You can go.
I have no idea where it comes from. Spits.
For more? Are you blaming the boss on this?
No! I'm just telling you.
Oh.
I'm just telling him. I can't control it. He wants me to control it sometimes.
For more information, go to bettermanshow.com.
There you go. Seems like somebody's been on there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Well, hey. You don't want promotion for the show?
No, I do.
Okay.
I wasn't saying that in a negative way. Okay. Why are you so angry?
God, my toolbox is filled.
Sounds like somebody was up on that website.
Mm-hmm.
I did not sound like that.
Mm-mm-mm.
Let's build a better man.
Why not?
Yeah, why not? Come on, girl. Help me build a better man. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, why not?
You better have a better reason than why not. If you couldn't
go. I'm sure there was more to that. He's cutting it off.
Why not?
He's cutting it off, man.
Why not?
Play the rest of it. That's out of context.
We don't have time to play the rest.
Oh, okay.
Hey! Hey!
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Speaking of a better man,
who?
Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh, he needs help.
Yeah. Well, he was really a mess early on in his career. There was no doubt about it. Guy was just a total mess. But he straightened himself out.
Yeah. And got married, had some babies.
That's right. And he's now a better man.
Yeah.
However, what he's gone through the last couple of weeks has just made him look like a real salty, the word I want to use I can't use.
Oh,
but
really?
Sort of a jerk. A little bit of a jerk. Played poorly, acted like a
jerk. Off mic, I want to know what word you wanted to use.
Oh, yeah.
You need to become a better man.
No, I'm fine. I didn't say on the air. Yeah, no.
Better mind.
But you said it. Better vocabulary.
it's the perfect word for this situation.
Well, he's been different dude this week.
Yeah.
I mean, he's one guy
irritable
after the game. He's another guy, you know, later in the week. I mean, I'm trying to keep up with all these different personalities.
It's like me with you. Sort of.
Damn. I knew you. I just teed that one up, didn't I? Wow. Okay.
But he's been very irritable. There's been no doubt about it. So this is another example. As yesterday, he meets with the media. It starts with a reporter's question. And he's just not really having any of it.
Ready to just talk about football? I mean, that...
yeah. Would you guys ask me about football? It's on you guys, isn't it?
Well, I mean, we didn't make AB throw cooler, and we didn't sit questions.
But you asked the questions.
Well, that part's our job. But I mean, is there any worry? How do you block that stuff out? Because I mean,
stop having interviews like this.
You'd miss us, though, right?
Absolutely. This is the fun part of my week.
Was the comment made out of frustration than the one where you said you don't have it anymore? Maybe I don't have it anymore. Was that?
Yeah, just it's after post game. You let you know that to me. That's the hardest thing about having a bad game is letting the fans down, letting my teammates down. You know that's what bothers me the most. It's hard to do that. It's frustrating. You know, and like I said, that bothers me way more than my own pride and things. It's just letting other people down, especially my teammates. So that's what bothers me the most.
Did you realize it could open a Pandora's box in the way that it did, in the sense that so many people questioned you after that?
That's fine. They can question me. I don't question myself. The ones that are close to me don't question me. That's what matters. It doesn't, no offense to any of you guys, but it doesn't really matter to me what you guys, how you guys question me or not, or the quote-unquote professional talking heads on the other sports networks that are out there that are supposed experts and things like that.
Just stop. Dude, you've been in the league for how long now? Right. Will you stop this stuff?
Right.
I mean, for crying out loud. You won two damn Super Bowls.
Yep.
You're the man. No, but you had a terrible game, and you said after the game, maybe I don't have it anymore.
Thank you.
If you would have de-escalated the situation
with your
anger toolbox.
Yeah.
Check that anger out there, okay?
Then you said, man, listen, I played poorly. Not going to happen again. It's one of my worst games. Hats off to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Then it wouldn't have been a thing. But because you acted like a jerk in that post game, and you said with your own words twice, we got to remember, because he set this up in the offseason when he said, I've really got to consider if I want to play still, and I might retire, and all that bull crap. And then he comes back after a couple of weeks, plays one of the worst games of his life, and says, maybe I don't have it anymore. He created the whole situation. So don't point fingers at the media and the so-called experts and pundits on the sports networks. It's all you. You built this house, Ben. Live in the friggin' thing.
Wow. Gio needs to see an episode of The Better Man Show. Wow, man.
I mean, what a wuss, though.
I am in 100% agreement with you. Ben Roethlisberger put that out there, and to say, well, after a game, things come out, and sometimes they're said in the wrong manner. Well, how many games have you had that didn't go in the area you wanted them to go, and you didn't perform as best as you could, and then you had to address the media? Numerous. And so for you to use that as a crutch as to why you spewed what you spewed on Sunday is ridiculous. You just had a bad damn game, and now I don't have it anymore. It comes off as whiny. Just say I had a bad game, and I'm going to go out and play harder, try harder, and we'll get past this. That's all you had to say. And now you want to chide the press for bringing it up again. You brought it up. You said it. We're just going by your words. They didn't manufacture that. And yes, sometimes we manufacture stuff, not us, but others in this profession manufacture story. But they didn't manufacture that. And then you change your tune in the middle of the week, and then you get upset with them for reporting what you said early in the week. You can't have it both ways, dude. Just own up to it. Quit acting like a wuss.
Yep. And these guys in Pittsburgh, they expect the media to be on their side. It's a weird thing because there's some people there.
Don't do it.
There's some people there that have created this atmosphere where, hey, you take care of us, we'll take care of you.
Mm-mm.
And then when you get people that are critical, then they get super sensitive. I'll never forget a friend of mine who I just was at his wedding in New Orleans. You've met. You've been on a show.
Yeah.
Andrew Filippone. When he first got to Pittsburgh, he was getting on Hines Ward. And I don't remember exactly what it was, but he got on Hines Ward. And I didn't think it was an illegitimate criticism. But Hines Ward sought him out and told him, you haven't been in this town long enough to criticize me. And it was like, what? Like, what are you talking about? He's like, if you were here for 10 years, then maybe I'd let you say bad stuff about me, but you can't. And I'll never forget another time, too, where someone came up to another member of our radio station and said, You're supposed to be the hometown media. Why are you saying this stuff about us?
Well,
and it happens in smaller markets like that because there's some goobers in the media that are always defending the team because they want special access because the Steelers are the biggest thing that's going on there. And then it creates this atmosphere where everybody's supposed to follow that law, and it's nonsense.
Well, you know, the first scenario you just outlined, Hines Ward, you know what type of cat he is. I don't know what was said. And if, you know, someone's new on the block and you feel like it's unwarranted, their critique of you and your profession, okay, fine. I get that. But to say that I have to toe the company line, no. And that's never going to happen. The relationships between player and media has changed so much, has evolved. And you can listen to some of these old heads talk about yesteryear and how they would actually go out and party with the athletes. And there was a relationship there where the reporter would keep everything off the record. He would report certain things and other things he wouldn't. I mean, you listen to these, and it's sometimes fun to hear these guys tell these stories from back in the day when they would go out and see all sorts of things, and yet they kept that to themselves, and that was between player and journalists. And nowadays it's changed, and I can understand why sometimes athletes are hesitant to share anything with the press, and they give that just was it canned answer. I understand that, and then we get upset about that, some of us, and then when they come out and they speak their mind, we're upset that they told us the truth. So that's the way it works these days. But you can't expect guys to go out and toe the company line, and especially in Ben's case, you can't expect someone to go out and not ask you about comments you have made yourself.
Yes.
You made the comments.
You're in control.
You said this, so we want to dig a little deeper and drill a little deeper and find out where you were coming from. And now to try to assail the press as if they made those comments up, you said it. You voiced it. You
He's
gave it life.
He's in control of this.
Yes.
And as much as it must be tough to see everybody talking about you in a negative light after something, I mean, you got to understand that he's the one who lit the fire.
Right. Don't give him the fuel.
Yeah, he's in control of it. You don't have to say these things to open up the door for the reporters to write these stories.
I sucked. I was horrible today. That was, that was pretty poor on my part. And you move on. You know, next question, the follow-up is probably going to be, well, why do you think you played so poor? I don't know. I'm going to get in the film room, and I'm going to check it out and see what I did wrong and try to make sure it doesn't occur again. It's simple. And yeah, it's tough after a game and after you have a performance like that, and you got all these cameras in your face. But you're not new to this.
Right, and this is what it is. You got to now forget about the way you want it to be. This is what it is. I mean, and I can only equate it to like the way I feel about Twitter sometimes, where I know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe 70% of the stuff you're going to get on there is normal, but there's like 30% of it that's just horrible, nasty, cesspool people that you don't want to deal with, right? So that, like, I have to change my approach to it as opposed to me trying to change everybody else and complaining about it. Like, and that's what the way that I think athletes have to look at the media that covers them.
Yeah.
All right, you don't like the way that they cover you, but that's the way it's going to be. So you have to do what you can do about it to not let it affect you, because there's no way you're going to be able to go and change everybody's mind.
True. That's it. And you got to pick your battles, and we've seen guys pick this battle with the press numerous times, and in the late Darryl Royal said it best, and he may have gotten this from somebody else, but, you know, they buy ink by the barrel and paper by the ton. You're not going to win it. It's not going to happen. Can't win.
Not going to happen. Coming up next, we're going to have an Andrew Bogus update.
That's going to happen.
We're going to have Ken Niumatalolo.
Say it again.
Ken Niumatalolo.
That's right. Just rolls off the tongue.
And also.
Also what?
Start calling him Ben McAdoodoo.
Ooh. Follow us on Twitter at Gio and Jones.
Friends like these.
How do you manage it in your post-plant career?
You stay away from CBS Sports Radio. That's how you manage it.
Trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts help you choose the brakes that are an exact fit for your vehicle. Brands you trust like Brake Best and Wagner Thermo Quiet. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the brake parts you need at guaranteed low prices. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Bogus is back. He's got an update in less than 10 minutes. Ken Niumatalolo joins us, Navy head football coach.
Yeah, big one for them. Memphis.
Niumatalolo, as Rich Ackerman said once famously. And we play that drop plenty of
Ken
time.
Niumatalolo.
That's like eight people he just named.
Yeah. Hey, Bogus.
At least
Bogus.
You got Ken right.
Bogus, yeah. What's in your anger toolbox?
I'm sorry, what?
What's in your anger toolbox?
I can't say anything without being mean to you.
So well, how would it be mean to me?
Because all I want to do is make fun of the idea of an anger toolbox that came from your show.
Hey out there, how's your anger toolbox?
It's full. Weed and video games. And, are you drinking a 40 from over here?
It does look like that.
Yeah. Is it actually not white, or is that the reflection of the...
No, that's Crystal Light I put in there. I'm tired of just drinking
crazy water.
Better mine.
Not malt liquor.
No. Why are you profiling me, man?
I'm profiling the bottle, not
it
you.
Does, yeah, it does look a little bit like a...
Old English, 800. Cricket eyes, St. Ides.
Better body.
Mm-hmm. Taking me back. I'm reminiscing over here.
Yeah, well, speaking of that, take a sip, because as you know, sometimes...
I got from a horse a couple years ago. It felt great.
And sometimes...
Well, he's our horse. And... You know, sometimes it doesn't work.
That horse was lame.
Better sex.
I'm going to shoot that horse.
Cleveland manager Terry Francona had his horse, Corey Kluber.
That horse was rode hard, put up wet.
Their ALDS finale with the Yankees last night before the second time in the series New York handled the possible Cy Young Award winner. D.D. Gregorius took him deep twice in the first
three
innings.
I don't think we're going to put this horse out to stud.
Staking the Yankees to a 3-0 lead. On the flip side, C.C. Sabathia. Cade 9 over.
Now that's a horse you can believe in.
He is horse size.
I just wanted to get off to a good start, you know, and you know, Didi hit the home run and, you know, gave me a lot of confidence, and I was able to go out and just keep pitching.
Sabathia speaking postgame on the Yankees radio network. David Robertson got 8 outs in relief for the veteran lefty. Then Aroldis Chapman got the final 6 for a 5-2 win, which sends New York to Houston for game 1 of the ALCS tomorrow night. The Nats 5-0 win at Wrigley yesterday sent them and the Cubs back to D.C. for game 5, 8 Eastern tonight. The Dodgers wait in the NLCS. Kyle Hendricks starts for the Cubs. Gio Gonzalez or Tanner Roark or maybe Max Scherzer goes for Washington. After their ALDS loss the second straight October, they failed to advance. The Red Sox fired manager John Farrell yesterday. It's the Eagles and Panthers in Carolina on Thursday Night Football. Both teams 4-1. Both lead their respective divisions. Coverage at 8 Eastern on CBS. Titans QB Marcus Mariota says he's absolutely feels good about playing Monday night against the Colts. Mariota missed Sunday's loss in Miami with a strained hamstring. NFLPA leadership will attend owners' meetings next week in New York to continue the discussion about national anthem protocol. The league said in a statement yesterday, no changes have been made to its rules, as has been reported. Joel Embiid made his preseason debut last night, 15 minutes, 22 points, and 7 rebounds, as his Sixers blew out the Nets. Louisville basketball has fired assistant coach Jordan Fair, who was placed on administrative leave in the wake of the federal probe into corruption and bribery. The Cardinals have also hired Trent Johnson and his head coaching experience to assist interim coach David Pageant. And on ice.
Into the King zone. Slows down and drops. Gaudreau to Brody. Brody to Monahan. He scores! Sean Monahan!
For a 4-3 win in L.A., Derek Wills on Flames Radio. 45-year-old Jaromir Jagr played 13 minutes in his Calgary debut last night.
Flames Radio. I tell you. I'd love to see the guys running, like, the engineer for Flames Radio.
I don't know, man. It's hockey in Canada. There are probably 175 affiliates in 4 different languages.
Yeah, maybe. I'm just picturing some guys with living in, you know, Banff, you know, showing up in overalls, yeah. You know, with a beard, like, you know, like some moose jerky stuck in his ears.
He scores!
Come on, man.
Already covered in snow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. His name is Olaf.
You're right. Like, okay, here we go again, guys. Good luck on the broadcast.
Way to shoot it.
Yeah, right. Okay, fire it up, guys. ISDN connected, locked and ready to go. That's just what I'm picturing.
Brody, to Monahan.
All right. So Ken Niumatalolo joins us in just a couple minutes. We'll talk some Navy football with him.
Niema Tuilolo.
Just an unbelievable game between them and Air Force. And they've got Memphis next, which will be an interesting ball game. The New York Giants are a total mess. I mean, they are as off the track as you could possibly be in this early NFL season. And whether or not it's true, it looks like right now that Ben McAdoo, the Giants head coach, has no freaking clue what the hell he's doing. He's got a guy in Dominic Rogers-Cromartie who has quit three times in a week. So apparently Friday he quit.
Yep.
And then Sunday at halftime he quit. And then yesterday he quit again. Yeah. there's been like,
I quit, I mean it this time.
You got Josina Anderson of ESPN with a story. You got Mike Francesa next door with an exclusive story of what happened at halftime. Rogers-Cromartie is texting people saying McAdoo's message is BS. It's just a McAdoo's got to answer the questions about it. It's a disaster for them. And then you have, I mean, Odell Beckham Jr., Brandon Marshall out for the year. Before Beckham got hurt, he's acting like a dog in the urination thing. And then you got him crying on the sidelines with Brad Wing giving him a shiatsu massage. I mean, it's just like the offensive line is a complete tire fire.
Shiatsu massage.
I mean, did you see that with a towel over his face? I mean, it is. What am I leaving out? There's got to be something else. There's something else I'm leaving out. But
that's about it.
It is so unbelievably bad for them. So Ben McAdoo and the Giants aren't one of those teams that fires coaches quickly. But I don't know, man. This thing keeps going this direction.
This is what happens, though, when you have a team that's not playing well, a team that hasn't won a ball game. It starts to snowball. It's cumulative, and you have situations like here with DMC and
what is DRC?
DRC.
Yeah. Run DMC. Yeah.
With Daryl Mack. Excuse me, the late Daryl Mack.
Better mine.
Dominic Rogers-Cromartie. It starts to snow. You have that. You have all the injuries. And just, man, it gets to a point where you have to find a way to stop the bleeding. And how do they do that? If the message is lost and the veterans are not buying into it, you know that the young guys in there are going to follow the lead of the veterans. And yet you've lost the whole team at that point. And so you got to see how they come out and play next time out. If you feel like a team has given up, you know this deal is over. This cake is baked, and it may be baked for the coach as well, because he's supposed to be leading this team, and all the expectations that were out there for this football team on the heels of how they played last year, the only team during the regular season to knock off the Cowboys, and then the lay an egg in your playoff game versus Green Bay, and now 0-5 to start a season. If you've lost that locker room, it's done. Forget about it.
You have to try really hard to get fired by the New York Giants after your rookie season as a head coach. You win 11 games. And he is orchestrating that right now, which is almost impossible. And he looks so ridiculous because, you know, last year it's like cute because he's sort of like dresses horribly and he's got a bad haircut, but he's just a football coach and they win 11 games. He comes back now thinking he's a badass with his slick back hair, and the team's a mess. It's just so bad for him and this team right now. And I wouldn't be surprised that, and as I mentioned, I look at the Steelers and the Giants sort of in the same light, where they don't want to be the team and the franchise that's just replacing general managers and head coaches every year.
But what went wrong? Because you look at everything they did, all the moves and the draft picks they made.
It's more on Jerry Reese. I mean, they didn't address the offensive line.
Yeah.
They didn't. Everybody knew that was their biggest weakness, and they did nothing about it.
But the defense, still the same guys from a year ago that played so well.
Right.
And now all of a sudden they're not playing so well. So what happened,
especially
on that side of the ball? What happened?
I don't know.
These are the same cats.
Yeah, that's a really, really good question. I don't know. But that might be a message thing. I mean, if you think about it, you got a guy who was part of that great defense last year quitting three times in less than a week, then that's got to have something to do with the head coach, right? And even some of the worst teams out there, they'll still play for their coach even though things aren't going well.
And to his credit, DRC said, hey, it got heated between me and Coach, and I handled it the wrong way. And because he was upset about being told he was going to be inactive this next ball game because of quitting Sunday during the game. And he said he handled it the wrong way. Well, it's a little bit too late for that. Now you're suspended. We'll see how long that lasts. But those guys on that side of the ball, you can't be upset with Ben McAdoo about this defense. Steve Spagnuolo, what's up? What happened to your charges on that side?
So true. They've been getting pushed around like crazy.
Those are the same dudes. Snacks. Yeah. What's happening?
Yeah, what's happening?
What's up, Snacks?
What's happening, Big Snacks? Yeah, I know. But it's I think Jerry Reese is – this might be it for him because of not addressing that offensive line. But at the same time, you're right. You came off a year last year where you made every right decision in signing guys in free agency, and now it's all falling apart.
And other than the offensive line – I like what they did in the draft. I like the Ingram pick out of Ole Miss at tight end. So
how does that guy, by the way, and the reason I'm so angry about it is because I played him in daily fantasy, but how in the hell, when you lose three wide receivers in the same game, that this guy doesn't catch a single pass?
Yeah.
How is that humanly possible?
As athletic as he is, you should target him.
Targeted twice, doesn't catch a damn pass. They lose three wide receivers. Come on. Unbelievable. Anyway, Jerry Jones sometimes needs to just stop talking because, when you start waffling and you start over-explaining, it just never turns out well. And that's exactly what's going on with him. So first he says that if a player does not stand for the national anthem, he will not play in that game. And then we said at that point, okay, what if it's Dak Prescott? What if it's Ezekiel Elliott? What if it's anybody on that offensive line that's so important to you guys? Like, what if it's one of those guys? What are you going to do? You're going to pull him right off the field and not play him? So then he comes out and he explains himself, and he said that, quote, he told players during the team meeting on Tuesday that his stance was, quote, rooted in a desire to play the bad guy and deflect attention away from the players, which is quite possibly the most asinine thing he said in a long time. Because how is that deflecting attention away from the players when basically he is now putting them in the worst spot possible by saying, I will rip you off the field and you won't play if you kneel during the national anthem? All that does is put the players back in the spotlight.
Yeah.
Yes, we're talking about Jerry Jones, sure, and what he said, but we're talking about what Jerry Jones is going to do with the players.
So now camera guys broadcasting the game, they're going to pan the field looking for someone. They're going to look for which one of you are going to defy your owner. And no one was kneeling for the Cowboys anyway. So what do you mean deflect from them? You have the opposite effect because no one had done not a damn thing on the Dallas Cowboys. No one's focused on the Cowboys. You had a couple raised fists in the air. That was it. No one was doing a damn thing. There was focus on the Cowboys in the Monday night game versus the Arizona Cardinals. Other than that, no one had discussed the Cowboys as far as this issue is concerned.
Yeah.
And now you've drawn all that attention back on your football team. So in your effort to deflect, you've drawn eyeballs to them. And you put your team in a precarious situation.
Pretty stupid. It really is. And he needs to just stop. Stop talking about this now, Jerry. Seriously, move on. Because you're not doing anybody any favors.
No.
You're just making it worse. All right. Ken Niumatalolo was just a few minutes late. So what we're going to do is we're going to break now. We'll have him in 5 minutes.
Cool.
Navy head football coach coming up next.
Niumatalolo.
You're listening to Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Ken Niumatalolo, Navy head football coach. Coach, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're doing really well. And that win over Air Force was one for the ages. Just an unbelievable game. What was it like to be you during the second half of that football game?
Unfortunately, in this profession, there's a lot of roller coasters of emotions and ups and downs. And, you know, we were playing well offensively, but we had a hard time stopping them. You know, credit Air Force. But, you know, when we had the lead and lost it at the end, you know, that was pretty traumatic. But, you know, I've just got to give our kids credit. You know, they found a way to win at the end, which was great. And it's It was a great win for our football program.
And you were emotional in the post-game news conference. What made you get to that point where you were sort of overcome with emotion after that game?
I guess that's just kind of me. I mean, my kids know me. I mean, either I'm yelling at them or crying. You know what I mean? I'm just an emotional person. But just, I guess just more gratitude. You know, I just, you know, a lot of times I'm overwhelmed just by coaching these guys. You know, I feel very blessed to coach such great young men. You know, I just, for me, there's just the, I think about the totality of things. I see these young men. I remember being in their homes, recruiting them, their families, and then see them, all that they go through, and to see them experience some, you know, success on the field. Those are the kind of thoughts that go through my brain. I just see everything when I'm after the game, and I just see everything. I see them coming on their official visits, you know, and I see them making the decision to come. And when they have, you know, success, it's just, to me, there's nothing greater, you know, as a coach.
Coach, what's going through your mind when you're high-stepping? We saw you at UConn a year ago. You were kind of running in place, but you really got into it. You look like a drum major there on the sideline at the end of that ball game versus Air Force. I hope you're working out and you don't pull any muscles this season.
My kids are all older. They just kind of laugh. They send me all these funny emojis. Like, they're like, Dad, will you stop doing those kinds of things after the game? But I didn't even realize it. You know, I was kind of high-stepping, and then I think I pulled my quad, you know what I mean? I was on the other side of the field, and they're yelling at me, Coach, do you want to go for one or two? And, it took me a while to get back on the other side of the field. But, like I said, I look at some of those stuff, and I'm like, geez, I look like a moron.
No, it was cool. You did it well, Coach. You could join the band. That was pretty good. Now,
well,
let me...
that part, I don't even know what's happening. I just control myself. I just start running. Like, why did I do that?
You know? Well, that's part of the excitement of college football. Now, you broke out some new concepts. I read where you and some of your staff, you went down to Albuquerque and checked out the New Mexico version of the option, and you broke out some of those new concepts this past week. How big of a tweak was it to your offense, or was it something where you just implemented a couple plays here and there?
No, it was a huge undertaking for us. You know, we've been an under center option team for years. We learned it from Paul Johnson, and we've been doing that for years. But, you know, we just decided, you know, maybe we should look into some gun stuff. And this was maybe, I don't know, 7 years ago. And so we always dabbled in it in the spring and did a lot of different things in the offseason. But we never used it much in the game. You know, quite frankly, we didn't need it. But last year against Air Force, they basically shut us out. And so we decided, you know what, we're going to use all these things that we've learned from different people. Like you said, New Mexico being one of them, Nevada, you know, Georgia Southern. I mean, there's so many people that we watched and try to learn from. But we were exclusively all gun that game, which was hard to do, you know what I mean, because we kind of get away from our bread and butter, you know, but we felt very, very good about it, and we're definitely going to do more of it in the future.
I'm going to give you a couple numbers. You're 30-8 in your last 38 games, 17-2 in regular season conference games since joining the American Conference. 4-0 in the second time in 3 years. You've won 16 in a row at home and 41 wins since the start of the 2013 season, which is tied for second among Group of Five programs. I mean, that success, when you took over, I believe it's been 10 years now, did you always envision that you would be this type of program?
No, you hope to do that, but it's such a hard profession. There's so many great coaches. There's so many good programs. You look at on the internet, you see everybody's weight rooms and their locker rooms, and, you know, everybody's got a five-star chef that's cooking for their players, and, you know, it's hard. But you just feel very fortunate. We feel like, you know, we have great kids. You know, our staff's been together for a long time, and, you know, you don't ever kind of look at those kinds of things, because once you start looking at it, you set yourself up for failure. You just got to keep pressing forward.
Excuse me there, Coach. I was trying to find my cough button. You just mentioned that you wanted to tweak the concepts because of what Air Force was able to do to you a year ago, really shutting down your running game. But now that you're in a conference, is there some man, I'm choking up over here.
Take a second here as we talk to Ken Niumatalolo, Navy head football coach on Gio and Jones, as Brian tries to get his voice in order.
Yeah, Coach has me all emotional, too. Coach, any concern that familiarity would cause some problems having joined a conference? Because usually with these option teams, a team may see them once a year or once, you know, in four 5 years, so you can sneak up on them, and they don't have time to really get coached up on handling the option. So was there a concern there now that you're in a conference that, hey, these teams will get used to seeing this offense. We got to do something a little different.
No, and I think, you know, Coach Johnson at Georgia Tech has proven that that's a false premise. You know, they've been successful for a long time there, Georgia Tech and the ACC. And, you know, because it is true that they get more familiar with you, but you also get more familiar with them. You know, a lot of those games last year when we first got in the league, we had no idea how people were going to line up to us. So that you start to find out what people are doing to you. And I think the thing that helps us, though, is, you know, people might try to equate that with Air Force and Army because we play each other and it's hard to move the ball against each other, except we're running, all three of us are running the same offense. You know, it's hard, I think, to have a spread team in off season try to, you know, simulate option stuff. I mean, it's hard to do. And so I think that's still to our advantage because we're so different from what other people do. And, you know, hopefully that holds true for, you know, as it continues to hold true.
What are some of the things that you tell your new players in recruiting and otherwise about, you know, what it means to be a part of Navy, not only the football team, but the all-encompassing things that go with it? What is that sales pitch go like?
Well, our deal is we're very upfront with these young men. You know, we don't sugarcoat things. This isn't for everybody. You know, to come here, you have to be a selfless person. You're serving our country. And if you don't come here, we understand this isn't for everybody. If you don't serve in the military, it doesn't make you a bad person. But it takes a unique person to come here. It's more than you. It's more than yourself. It's serving others. And so at first, kids are like, you know, because in sports, really in life, you know, it's always about what's in it for me. You know, what can I get out of this? But when you look at a different lens and what can you give to others, it's amazing to see how people, when they start looking through that, they buy in. And, you know, they just come. I think the biggest sell for us, though, is our players. When they come and around our players and they realize, wow, I'm just like this guy. You know, I didn't know about the military growing up. And that's our sales pitch. You know, this is a great school, a great education. You get to play football at the highest level. You get to serve our country and set yourself up for life. It's not for everybody. If you like it, come on, brother. If you don't come.
Easy as that.
Simple as that. Speaking of your player, Zach Abey, watching this quarterback, I mean, this guy, your lead rusher, when he's running, it's like there's a whole bunch of moving parts. He reminds me of a Pop Warner quarterback with a helmet. It's too big for you. Shoulder pads are too big, and everything is just swaying as you're getting down the field. But no one can catch him. What are you seeing in his maturation?
Well, you know, he started last year in the toughest, his first start, you know, ever was the Army-Navy game, and it was the first time ever in the history of the school that a quarterback's first start was in the Army-Navy game. And, you know, he wasn't quite ready yet, but we knew from a physical standpoint he has all the tools, and Coach Jasper's done a phenomenal job in getting him ready. But he's a tough, hard-nosed kid. He's about 215. He's a wrestler. And so, he's a tough, hard-nosed runner, and he's been playing phenomenal for us.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We're talking to Navy head football coach Ken Niumatalolo on Gio and Jones, CBS Sports Radio. Memphis this week, and you each might score 100 points in this game. When you know that you're going up against another team that can rack up a ton of yards and a ton of points, how does your approach change in preparation during the week?
Well, you know, you just try to be as sound as you can on defense. You know, Riley Ferguson is a phenomenal talent. Coach Mike Norvell is, I mean, as good an offensive mind as there is in the country. So we know it's going to be hard to stop them. Our premise has always been, since joining the league, since we have so many great offenses like Memphis and so many great quarterbacks like Riley Ferguson, is don't give them the ball. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So we're going to try to eat the clock, keep them guys on the sideline, you know, and do the best we can to have long, time-consuming possessions and hopefully try to score and keep those guys off the field.
Hey, Coach, I know you need to get back to your film work there, but I wanted to ask about your offensive coordinator, Ivan Jasper, his son in need of a heart transplant. How's he doing? How's Coach Jasper doing?
You know, he's doing as best as he can. You know, I mean, obviously in a situation like that is a very traumatic deal, and you know, he's a strong man of faith. You know, and he's been buoyed up by prayer and support of others. But he's, you know, Jaron's, you know, doing better. It's day by day, and you know, we're all prayerful that you know, he'll be able to get a heart. You know, we just kind of wait. Obviously, when that happens, it's kind of a interesting situation from the standpoint. Obviously, when you're getting a heart, somebody just passed away, and they've decided to donate that. So there's two sides of the spectrum, but you know, we're prayerful that you know that will happen.
How many times has someone mispronounced your name in your life? Would you have to say over under 500,000?
Yeah, it happens so much that you become used to it. But you know, I think I don't really worry about the mispronunciation. It's probably what the players call me under their breath. But,
we have a bad one for you. The guy who was doing an update when you got the job, this audio has lived for 10 years now because it was so funny to us. And I remember he was trying to go into the studio, and I was in the newsroom when this was happening, and he's saying to himself, Niamatololo, Niamatololo, Niamatololo. And he goes on the air, and this is what he ends up saying.
Find Paul Johnson's replacement. They have promoted assistant Ken Niamatololo.
See, so much for practice, right?
I don't think that had anything to do with mispronunciation. You just choked.
He absolutely did. Coach, listen, it's great talking to you. Best of luck against Memphis and the rest of the year. We'll be rooting for you.
Great talking to you guys. Take care.
All right. There he goes. Ken Niamatololo.
He's just Navy.
Niamatololo.
We got to play that for Ackerman. Ken's reaction, or Coach Ken's reaction.
Yes.
I wanted to ask him, what are the players calling? They can't be like, hey, Coach Niamatololo.
Why not?
It's just very cumbersome every day.
They better learn how to say that.
Coach Lowe, maybe? Coach Lolo?
Coach Knee?
Coach Ken? Coach what?
Coach Knee?
Coach Knee? I don't know about that.
Nah.
Coach Knee.
Coach Lolo. What's
Coach
up,
Lolo? Coach Lowe. Lolo.
Coach KN. What's happening? Yeah. Or just Coach.
Or how about Sir? You know? Yeah. That's probably what it is. I went to one game when I was doing sidelines for Pitt at Navy, where Navy beat Pitt.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget, I'm standing in the end zone, and Navy scores, and one of the guys comes up to me on the sidelines and says, hey, listen, we're going to blow off this cannon, so you might want to move. And I was like, thank you. Yeah,
thanks for the warning.
They were very polite, because they could have very easily, you know, it's not, nothing actually comes out of it, you know, it's just noise, but they could have very easily just blown that thing off and scared the hell out of me. And they were nice enough to wait, you know, because they do it right after the touchdown. They waited, came up to me, told me to move, and then... And that happened. It's on the pageantry there. I've never been to an Air Force home game, but I've been to a couple Army home games and one Navy home game.
Yeah, I've called a couple Air Force games there in Colorado Springs. It's something. And then to attend Army Navy, you have to do it at least once.
Coming up next, Tank Thomas, a very different type of interview. Right after Coach Lolo. It is Gio and Jones. Talk some Eagles football, and we'll talk some Chris Forrester with Hollis Tank Thomas, CBS Sports Radio.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.